people are troubled by so many problems. That a lot of times Satan sees that and he uses false teachers and false doctrines to actually hook them and bring them into their kingdom and to deception and eventually destroy them. How we need to be careful of such people.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today we're continuing our series exposing the damaging influence of false spiritual leaders. Today Roel will contemplate the motivations that drive us to receive distorted doctrines and man-made theology. You'll see how fear and uncertainty can cloud your judgment, but when you cling to God's unshakable truth, He'll guide your steps. Today's lesson is titled, Warning Against Unsound Doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, here's Roel Reese.
It's so awesome that we can continue to go through the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept, because there are so many churches that do not teach the Bible. They teach topically in the Bible. And it's always a real danger because when you teach topically, then that means you never really teach the full counsel of God. You never deal with everything that the Bible has to deal with in the teaching of God's Word. And that's why we make it an emphasis always to continue to go through. The first time we taught the Bible in West Covina, it took us 14 years to go from Genesis to Revelation. And this time we're moving a little bit faster, but we already have, I think, 4 years and we're halfway through the Scriptures. It's always just good when you get into the Word of God, especially like Timothy, because Timothy now is going to be dealing with topics and subjects that not only were very up to date in his own time, but today, surely they are real even in our own lives. The title of my message is Warning Against Unsound Doctrine. Surely today, we not only know, but we are experiencing apathy and at the same time a movement of all kinds of false teachings in the church. Believe it or not, it seems like a lot of the religions of the world are rising up and they're promoting and they're continuing to recruit people into their denominations or whatever system they may have in recruiting people for themselves. But I can remember in the past 30 years of all the winds of doctrines that came by as we were Calvary Chapel and people followed in those movements and exited out. And now you look back 30 years, a lot of those people today are totally, fully destroyed because they didn't stick with the truth of God. Such movements as I remember, the shepherding movement. The shepherding movement was back in the 1970s, came out of Florida. It was a movement that came about and began to shepherd people. And the way they would do it is that an elder or a pastor, you would have to be shepherded by them. And whenever you wanted to buy a car or you wanted to buy a house, you would have to ask permission from them to do it. They would tell you yes or no. The shepherding movement. And then that passed. And then came the actual Christians' demon possession, that believers could be demon possessed. And I remember back again in the 70s where the people were saying, you know what, if you're overweight, it's a demon of gluttony. Be careful with that. How stupid. And they started naming all these demons. And people believed that, and they started teaching and writing books about Christians being demon-possessed, and they forgot that in the Bible it says, the greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world. Not once in the teachings of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John do you ever see, and even in the epistles, do you see a Christian demon-possessed. Ever. Not even in the Old Testament. You see? It is really important that we understand that there are doctrines that come by and they come overnight and they begin to fly into the church and people begin to buy them and begin to live by them. The next thing that came was the positive confession, still going on today. You don't have enough faith. That's why you don't have a Cadillac. If you had enough faith, you'd have a Cadillac, maybe a Mercedes-Benz. But your faith is keeping you from getting it. Sad. So sad. And then, of course, the prophets from Kansas City. That was a movement that came out of the Vineyard Fellowship many years ago. And so we have seen these teachings that became really false teachings. And then today we have that teaching where the friendly seeker church is. Don't talk about sin. Don't offend people, but make people feel good about themselves. Self-esteem. Be careful. Be careful with these sounds and winds of doctrines that come by through the church. And one of the reasons that people get deceived and they get taken by these doctrines is because people don't study the Word of God. And there will probably be new ones in the future. New ones coming. And yet we continue to study God's Word and we continue to believe what God's Word says to each one of us individually. And yet the world also, as we see today, is full of troubles and people are troubled by so many problems. And yet even though they have many problems, yet at the same time, they're so overwhelmed by their problems and difficulty that a lot of times Satan sees that and he uses false teachers and false doctrines to actually hook them and bring them into their kingdom and to deception and eventually destroy them. How we need to be careful of such people. And yet at the same time, no matter what happens, we have to keep going forward until Jesus Christ comes again. As we look at the world today, we see what's happening with Iran. We see what's happening with Iraq. We see what's happening with terrorism. Even in America today, the threats in the near future. It's that bringing of fear to the people. And yet the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And if we really trust the Lord, whether there be a biological or nuclear holocaust, yet we know what? Hey, we're saved and we're ready to meet the Lord anytime He wants us to be with the Lord. We understand that He's in control of every situation and everything that's happening even tonight. This is where now Paul is ministering to Timothy. And Paul has been a great, great example to Timothy as an apostle of Jesus Christ, a guiding light to Timothy. Timothy is a young man. Paul is writing to him because Paul senses that Timothy is getting ready to quit the ministry because he has so many problems, too many pressures in the ministry. And some people get stressed out, some people can't handle it, so they exit the ministry. But the Bible says that the ministry is the calling of God. Timothy was called by God, but he was struggling at this particular time. And Paul writes to him to exhort him and to let him know, be careful of these false teachers that already are in the church and in various churches. He says, I have not only encountered them, but I know who they are. And he names two of them in 1 Timothy. They were going on and preaching false doctrine and trying to deceive the people of God. Timothy also, remember, accompanied Paul in all of his evangelistic missions to Macedonia and to Achaia. That's Europe, in that area of Europe. In the book of Acts chapter 17:14, we see then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go unto the sea. Both Silas and Timothy remained there. And so those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Paul's companions in the ministry. Paul was training. He was not only leading them, but he was training them in the ministry because these guys were the young guys in the ministry. In Acts 18:5, he says, and when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Holy Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. And Timothy, at this time, had been not only with Paul on his long preaching ministry, but he also went to Ephesus, and Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's an incredible ministry that God gave to Paul in the city of Ephesus. He said, well, what do you mean? Because there is where the worship of Diana, the goddess, was. The many-breasted goddess. There was worship by the Ephesians. And when Paul came to the city of Ephesus, he created problems for those that were selling the idols of Diana. Paul actually stopped the marketing of Diana, and they became angry and mad, and a riot broke out, and they wanted to kill Paul. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ always exposes the lie. And people get uptight when that happens. That's why in Acts 19:22 it says, so he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy, Erastus, both he himself, and they stayed in Asia Minor for a time. Timothy had come to rely on Paul's presence and encouragement. But now he was on his own. And that's really hard sometimes to go out in twos, that's great, and threes, that's great. But when you go out by yourself, it's a real scary thing because you don't have anybody to be with you to lift up your hands. You're trusting in people at home praying for you. Many missionaries go out like that by faith. They just go as the Lord calls them to go out and minister. But it's so cool because when Timothy was now on his own, Timothy also had the leadership of the Ephesian church resting on his shoulders. Here's this young guy as Paul leaves Ephesus. He says, now you're the pastor. And you're going to lead the people here. So he felt the actual burden of the ministry. It was on his shoulders. He felt responsible. He was a man of integrity. And the ministry was getting to Timothy. And so Paul exhorts him and at the same time encourages him.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit SomebodyLivesYou.com for Bible-rich resources to direct you in a God-honoring life. Now, you can also email Raul anytime with your prayer requests and Bible questions. His email address is PastorRaul@SomebodyLivesYou.com. Let's continue with our study, Warning Against Unsound Doctrine.
Paul here is exhorting Timothy to stay on the job. Because Timothy, you have a great job ahead of you. Right where you are, there are many false teachers in that city trying to destroy the Christian doctrines that you've been taught by the Lord. Be careful, Timothy. Paul, in his letter here in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, is using military language. When he speaks to Paul, that's why when you read about Paul becoming a soldier in the warfare, he's always speaking in a military way because he's commanding. He's very serious about the problem and he wants them to understand, hey, this is a very serious thing. Satan is behind all this work. He's come to rob, to steal, and to kill. And these false teachers work for Satan. They're the ones that are deceivers. So here we see, let's go back just for a second to chapter 1, verse 1, so we can get the full meaning of the entrance here. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Oh, he says to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace, the triplets here in the New Testament, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now he begins, he says, as I urge you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may, notice, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You see? Paul is going to give a couple of charges here in the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. But here we see that Paul is writing to Timothy after Paul the apostle. 5 years after Paul the Apostle not only had been in the city of Ephesus, and Ephesus had been a great success. God had blessed it. That's the longest place that he ever stayed proclaiming the gospel and teaching people about Jesus. Because Paul was constantly on the move. But at the same time here in Paul's charge to Timothy, when he says, I urge you, the word in Greek here is interesting. It says, I beg you, I beseech you, I entreat you, or I implore you, Timothy. When I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge. And this is not the word that is used in a military way. It means to give strict orders from the superior officer. Listen to what the general is saying. Listen to what Jesus Christ is ordering you. Pay attention, Timothy, that some are teaching false doctrine. But he says what? That you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You see? Step up to the plate and take authority over these false teachers. Don't allow them to teach false doctrine. Now, the city of Ephesus was a very interesting city. We've been there three times. Beautiful city today. So much marble. The floors are made of marble, pillars of marble. A huge amphitheater that set 30,000 people still is there today. This was the actual city of Diana, the goddess, the many-breasted woman. And then at the same time, this was also the place where Paul went and dropped off Priscilla and Aquila, his friends that he met in the city of Corinth. And they became lifetime friendship with them. He loved Priscilla and Aquila, a couple, husband and wife, that took Paul in and helped Paul in his ministry. And he was a tent maker, and they gave him a job in tent making, so that he could support himself. And then secondly, Paul here is not only talking about that engagement that he had for 3 years in the city of Ephesus, but at the same time, he's also reminding them that in Ephesus, he addressed the actual elders of Ephesus right before he was going to meet Nero, and Nero was going to kill him. Go with me for a second to Acts chapter 20. Very interesting thing that Paul says here. Acts chapter 20. This is Paul's farewell speech to the Ephesians. Beginning with verse 17. He says, from Miletus I sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to Paul, he said to them, you know that from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. Now, Paul is going to let them know, you guys, just like we saw on Sunday night, we were talking in 1 Samuel chapter 12. And remember, Samuel got up and gave his last farewell speech, because now Saul, the king, was going to become the king of Israel. And he wanted to let the people know, have I ever stole anything from you? Have I ever robbed anyone? Have I ever done anything that is not right? I want you to tell me to my face right at this moment, because I want to make sure that you know that I am a man of integrity. Same thing Paul's doing here. He's reminding them how he felt about them. Look what he says. This is so beautiful. He says, you know that from the first day that I came to Asia Minor, what manner I've always been living among you. Number one, serving the Lord with all humility. I was never proudful. I came to you in humbleness of spirit, in humility. Secondly, serving the Lord with all humility. And secondly, notice, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. Paul cried a lot because of the false teachers. They were trying to deceive the people of God. I am praying that when I get to heaven, I want to meet Paul. Paul is so incredible when you read his letters, because he was probably one of the most intelligent people in the New Testament, a theologian for sure, and yet one of the most humble people that ever preached the gospel, that took us from the law of God to the grace of God. He was the one that gave us the theology and the grace of God. And yet, look what he says about himself. I served the Lord in humility and I cried a lot. Why, Paul, did you cry? He noticed what he says. How I came and I lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, many tears and trials, which happened to me in the plotting of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I'm going bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. I want to ask you a question. If the Holy Spirit told you what you were going to suffer, would you go? Would you go? Paul was told by the Holy Spirit, Paul, bad days ahead. But look what Paul says. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Underline that. Why? Because that's what our attitude should be. We don't count our life anything in this world but for Christ. So that I may finish my race with joy. And notice, and that the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Notice that. The reason God called me and saved me is so that I could preach and explain the grace of God and the ministry of His grace. Verse 25. And indeed now I know you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Because therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not failed to declare to you the whole counsel of God. What does he do? Not only here in chapter 20, but in chapter 18, second time, Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel chapter 33. How we are responsible to share with people the gospel. If we don't tell them and they go to hell, we are what? Liable. If we don't tell them. And if we tell them and they repent and they don't want to repent and they say, forget you, I don't care what you say, and they die in their sin, what did he say? You're not guilty from men's blood, you're free from men's blood. But if you don't tell them and they die in their sin, Ezekiel, I'm holding you responsible for their blood. Paul says here, I'm innocent of all men's blood. Guess what? If I would die tonight, I could say the same thing Paul says. You know why? Because I have preached from Genesis to Revelation. I've given the full counsel of God to people. I never watered down the word of God ever. I have given it completely and fully. That's what Paul's saying. I came to you and I gave you the Bible, the word of God.
We hope you've been encouraged by today's assurance that the gospel is simple, enduring, and true, and you can confidently stand on the bedrock of God's Word and share its hope with others. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, to help you guard against faulty, faith-weakening doctrines, we'd like to tell you about Raul's six-part series, False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. Available on both CD and thumb drive, this study pinpoints the obvious signs of hypocrisy and religious counterfeits and explores how you can protect yourself from being led astray by enticing lies. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order all six lesson study titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. We'll send you the CD set for $21 or the flash drive for just $10. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Download our app for instant access to digital Bible studies and live-streamed Bible teaching. And browse iTunes and Spotify for podcasts of all previously aired programs. You can also find these podcasts on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel, where Raul streams Straight Talk every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Thank you for your partnership in helping us share the good news of the gospel through these programs. Every contribution is tax deductible. And we encourage you to join us again next time for more from this series. We'll think about the empowerment of studying God's Word and get a challenge to choose its divine truth over man-made religious ideas, no matter how enticing they might be. Now, with the closing comment, here's Rawl once again.
He says, therefore, verse 28, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So it's not my church, it's his church. It's not your church, it's his church. When people say your church, I say, how much did you pay for it? How much blood did you pay? Jesus paid with his own blood for the church. Notice that. And then he says this, for I know this, here it is, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things and drawing away disciples after themselves. Interesting. Not outside of the church, in the church.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.